Welcome to the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Griffith. I'm a business copywriter and blogger here in Orlando and the owner of OrlandoLadyBoss.com. Thank you for listening to the episode. And if you like what you have been hearing and you've been listening to the show, please take a moment to rate me on iTunes and Google Play. That is how other people are able to find the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast so they can hear about all the awesome things that are going on in Orlando and all the awesome women that are making impacts in Orlando. So please share the love. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or on Google Play. Thanks so much. Welcome to the 19th episode of the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. Who out there listening loves coffee? I know I love coffee. I have at least one or two cups every morning. I go to multiple different coffee shops around town, a lot of local ones on a regular basis, mostly local ones. And one of my favorite places in town is Downtown Credo. And our guest today actually works with Downtown Credo. Our guest is Nicole Higgins, and she's the rally director of Downtown Credo. Now, this episode isn't really about coffee or coffee shops. It's more about how to make an impact in your community locally. And it's something that Nicole is doing really well through her position at Credo. Because Credo is more than just, Downtown Credo is more than just coffee. They actually have three parts to their organization. It's coffee, conduit, and rally. And Nicole's going to break down each of those pieces for you in our episode. But Credo was really created to create community impact. And it's a wonderful organization. It's growing. And the coffee aspect is a way for you, residents in Orlando or anyone here that comes to visit, to participate in the mission of what Credo is trying to do. And that's why I wanted to have Nicole on, to kind of explain the whole process if you're not familiar, and the work that is going on within the community that is thanks to the impact that Credo is creating in the community. So with that, let's go ahead and get to the interview. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Orlando Lady Boss. This is Diana, and I am here today with Nicole Higgins. She is the rally director for Downtown Credo. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Hey, thanks.
So, can you let everybody know a little bit about who you are and what you do, especially when it relates to Downtown Credo?
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I rarely answer that question directly right away.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do the same here.
Do it
right.
How you,
great.
Give us your spiel the way you
perfect.
Do it.
I usually back up and talk about kind of Credo's mission and where I fit into that. Mm-hmm. So Credo's all about cultivating networks of people living with meaning, impact, and community. Mm-hmm. And it started, Credo as an organization started about 7 years ago with our executive director, whose name's Ben. Mm-hmm. And he moved to Orlando and said, how is the city different because I'm here? And so started helping out with our friends at the Boys and Girls Club, started doing some neighborhood work, and then met some more people and started a coffee shop, a Name Your Price coffee shop in College Park. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years later, I kind of moved back into Orlando. I had just finished a year-long internship in D.C. and was looking to do community organizing work and look for jobs in D.C., but from the comfort of my parents' home in Central Florida, and ended up stopping at the coffee shop on the recommendation of a friend and got to know Ben, and 4.5 years later, I'm still here. So I started with Credo a few years back, and when we only had the coffee, the College Park shop. The mission of Credo was the same. We still had three divisions. Coffee, Rally, and Conduit were three divisions, but they didn't have, coffee was the only one that had kind of specific staffing toward it. So the Rally, which is kind of our local impact work, was all volunteer. It was our work at the Boys and Girls Club with the New Image Youth Center. It was our monthly cleanups kind of between the Callahan Center and the Jackson Center. But that was all volunteer time. And So I ran the College Park shop for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Ben was still behind the counter at the time. It was just about five of us. We had no idea we'd be where we are today with multiple shops and different different projects. But when the Florida Hospital shop became a reality, we realized we had enough to staff Raleigh full-time. So I moved to Raleigh 3 years ago.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so for me, that consists of, well, when I think of coffee, it's pretty easy. You know, that's what most people think of Credo. That's our brick and mortars. Like, there's no such thing as local coffee. Like, and so we've been we've had the opportunity to meet growers, to meet roasters, and really be mindful about where we get, how we source our coffee, where we get it from. So we invite people into the process by naming their price. The conduit divisions for us is that we can't live this life of meeting and pet and community without creativity. So how we do that together, and we can talk about those programs as well. But Raleigh, for me, is kind of that local impact. We're not here to reinvent the wheel, but to ask our friends, what aren't you doing that you'd love to do?
So what are some of the specific programs that you're doing within Raleigh?
So Raleigh is two parts for me. I kind of divide the work into two big projects. One is our local impact. So that's the continuation of the relationships that we've built in the Paramore Corridor. And so we host monthly cleanups. We have partnered with friends who are chefs, who are seamstresses, who are coders, and said, we know a great group of people in the Paramore neighborhood, some key stakeholders. How can we do more together? So our cleanups are still going on. They're usually the second Tuesday. They're on hold for the summer because it's hot in Florida.
So you do it during the temperate weather.
Definitely, absolutely. And kind of along the school year. And then from those relationships, we've built out a bike rally. We started with the bike rally about 7 years ago. That has expanded to a parade. And so we have, the last 3 years, have hosted a parade called, it's our Orlando Together Parade.
Awesome.
And so we allow the students from the community centers to be the flagship, and they are the floats. And then we invite people from outside the neighborhood to help build the floats with the kids. So celebrating the diversity of Orlando, kind of being on a street that you're not usually on. In the last couple years, we've made a design challenge out of it. So we build all of the floats at the same time for 2 hours, the morning of the parade. And
that
then,
sounds like a... I did that at UCF for UCF Homecoming. Yeah. They just, like, build it overnight.
Throw it together. And everyone objects, but it's so much fun to see people come together. And, all right, what do we got to do? And so this year we had, this past March, we had about 150 kids show up. So that was, gosh, three times as many. We had twice as many floats. We built in front of Amway and then kind of marched up church and turned down Paramore and had a block party. And so that's kind of my favorite. That's where I get to be friends with people in the neighborhood and just, hey, what's going on? And then do fun things together, like a parade. The other side of Raleigh is our Social Enterprise Accelerator program that we call Raleigh Makers. So that's where we connect donors who also serve as mentors to up-and-coming businesses that have a social mission and a revenue stream built into their business model.
Awesome.
Yeah. So at every level, I like to say with Credo, at every level, we're inviting people, at every level of affluence, we're inviting people into a life of meaning, impact, and community.
Yeah. So, people can go on the level, go and say, you can't get involved in some of these other aspects, but you can go to Credo and have a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
And give money, and then that helps fund these other programs.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah. Like, the shops cover about 90% of our expenses, which is crazy to think
about. Yeah, that is crazy. Like, I mean, that's great.
I mean, I'm still here for it, you know, but like, we'll fundraise for the parade and a couple other smaller projects. Rally Makers, there's some operations that come out of the donations, but if you're naming your price for coffee, if you're picking up trash in your neighborhood because you're not waiting for somebody else to do it, you want to be somebody who, when you see trash, you pick it up. If you're donating at a $5,000 or $10,000 level, at every level, people are engaged into building this network that is Orlando. And so it's kind of fun for us at Credo to be the conveners of some of those projects.
You said that the parade is one of those things where you get to go out and meet people in the community and then you find out what they're... You know, can you talk a little bit maybe about what the process it looks like from going, hey, I'm going out and I'm meeting people, and then coming up with ideas to kind of help solve some of those problems that they're bringing out to you in the community?
Yeah, came out of kind of a community organizing mindset from school, from internships. You know, like I've just slowly been learning on community organizing. So I tend to lean toward hearing what people have to say first, kind of on an asset-based community development side. Like, you tell me what your needs are, and then we see how to pair, rather than me coming into the neighborhood and saying, oh, it's Paramore. There's nothing here. Here's how I can help. You know, like, there are so many gifts. There's so many strengths. There's so much happening in Paramore.
They're a community just like any other community in Orlando. Right. They have their community leaders. They have people that invest in their community.
Exactly.
And those are the people that know what's going on there.
Right. And so I would rather let them do that, and where I can help out and where I can connect them to other people, that's what I find the most joy in doing. And I would say, like, it really, we do say this in Credo, and I... After 5 years, I don't know what's mine and what's Credo's. Like, I don't know if I'm... It is. I definitely believe in it, and I've kind of internalized it. But it is something that we are really proud of with Credo, that the steps toward a life of meaning, impact, and community sound so small. They seem silly, but they're the ones that actually make a difference. So the idea of having a parade is absolutely nonsense. You know, like, we'll just have a parade. And but we did, and... But we did because we've had friendships over the last 7 years. You know, Ben's had them along. I mean, Ben was there at the beginning. Other key people who are part of Credo that I love and hold with the highest esteem. Other community members where I've been able to come in, you know, 4 years in and just say, like, oh, I'm with Ben, you know? And, like, his relationships already, like, kind of opened the door to more relationships. And really, it's not anything big or flashy. And that's the hard thing, is that it's just
well, it sounds the to me like steps. It's a lot of listening.
It's listening and showing up. I think I like to joke around that the bar is actually a lot lower than we think it is. But it is, you know? Like, it's all about just showing up consistently. So for me, we could do a cleanup in all the neighborhoods all the time. But we've decided to be friends with the Jackson Center. And so we show up once a month, and we've been doing that for the better part of five years. And that's where things happen. So when we say, you know what if we had a parade? People immediately are going to say, yeah, like, let me know. I'm in. Like, I'm ready to do stuff with you, because we've had a track record of being who we say that we're going to be and showing up. And I think that it's really just the integrity of those relationships that mean more than...
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because I just wrote a post that came out a couple of weeks ago that it was about building community. And one of the first things I said is, you have to start showing up.
Yeah.
You have to show up, and you have to go, what are they doing? And so if there's something that you want to do, like, in general, you want to start a business, you want to start a cause, but you don't know what that looks like.
Exactly.
You have to just start showing up and talking to people and listening to what their needs are.
I mean, it's totally your story too, you know, like, that's how we're here. You know, like, sitting in a sound booth, like, who are the people? Like, how do I get involved? That kind of thing. And I mean, that's the same for the coffee shop. We wouldn't have, I know, without a shadow of a doubt, we would not have the Florida Hospital shop if there weren't Florida Hospital executives meeting at the College Park shop.
Yeah.
So when I came in at Credo, it was very much like, I'm going to change the world, you know, like, let's, you know, like, show the man, you know, like, very, like, like, fist raised high.
Yes, which I'm sure a lot of people have that feeling.
And for good reason. Yeah. I mean, like, coming at, like, just young, like, you know, like.
Young, energetic.
Energetic, and all the energy. Yeah. And Ben, I mean, the joke is, Ben was like, cool, can you make coffee? You know, and I was like, no, but we're gonna, like, create this and this. And, like, I had so many great ideas, right? And, sure, they're great ideas, but, like. Make friends, like, get to know people in your neighborhood.
And build the trust. And showing up and continually listening and being there. People, there is a certain thing, there is a certain trust building you have to do. So when you're ready to go, hey, I need to make that ask. I want to do this thing. Will you come along this journey with me? You already have those
You're
people
already
around
there.
Yeah.
Exactly. I had, I sit on the civil service board for the city of Orlando, because I'm still weirdly, like, in love with civics. And I saw Chief Roderick, or Chief Rod, Chief Rod Williams, who runs the fire department. He's the head of the fire department. And, well, quick backup. Orlando Together has been fun. We're doing this parade. Mm-hmm. We're extending it even more this year. And so in the fall, we're hosting a dinner on Division. And so to have just really pointed conversation on why we have a Division Street. Do we change the name? Do we change the neighborhood? Mm-hmm. What does it look like to bring community residents and elected officials and everyone in between onto the street to have dinner together and talk about that? And in planning the dinner, I was like, man, we got to talk to the guys at Station 2, who's the pride of Paramore, and they just got a new station, and they've moved a couple times, and Station 1's just across the railroad tracks on the other side, and they've got a beautiful commissary kitchen. I'm just a fan of the fire department and civil service in general. And so I saw him at a meeting last night, and I was like, oh, hey, by the way, we're going to do an event in the fall, and I need to talk to you about it. You know, it's little things like that where the when you practice showing up and when you practice doing the little things, it's really easy to go to the chief of the fire department and say, hey, let's do something fun together. And yeah, I think people can look at me and be like, oh my gosh, you're everywhere and you do all these things. And it's like, no, I just practiced it enough. Like, I don't think anything of going to the chief of the police department or the head of the fire department. Like, it's just that practice of...
Is it just practicing, like, asking that question to, like, the next person
that's a little bit more outside?
And to the point where you're just like, hey...
Oh, you're the person that's on my list. I should talk to you about it.
I've said that to a couple of people, too, where people have given me a list and as the person has come in, and I'm like, oh, someone gave me... You're on my list.
Absolutely. 100%.
That's people to talk to.
Also the community organizing, why you're like, I'm just here to help so-and-so, and... This isn't me just being crazy, but...
No, that's a good... I like that advice, too. It's not making it about you.
No.
Making it about the thing that you're trying to accomplish for someone else.
Right. Right. We're doing something together. We really want you to be a part of this. Like, everyone wants to be a part of a winning team.
Yeah.
So, let's do fun together.
So, when you're in an organization like Credo, and you're looking at specifically going into communities and trying to make them better, but... to me, it's how do you make them the most them, you know, make them most themselves? How do you keep the integrity of the community there without, because, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, now this community is getting cool.
Now outside
people are coming in because now they're interested. And the people who you're trying to serve are now not getting served by the programs that are getting put there.
It's always the intentions. Like, you always have to remind yourself of the intention. So we started... Legally, like, our status was a nonprofit, and then the last six to nine months, we've been transitioning into a benefit corporation. And so, on the outside looking in, really the only thing that changes is that we pay sales tax on our coffee sales. So, no big deal there, you know? Like, and the question has been, like, why just go benefit corporation rather than just go nonprofit to for-profit, you know? And for us, it's that integrity. The question is, like, we need to maintain our mission. Because if all the things that we do come out of that why, come out of that life, meaning, impact, community, you know, like that the quality of our life is tied more toward who we're becoming than what we have, then whatever, then we have the creativity to do so many different things.
Well, and it's nice because you aren't getting money necessarily from... outside, you are getting it from outside donors, but they're microloans, basically.
Through
the coffee sales.
They're smaller,
And you didn't mention this, but I do want to toot Credo's horn, but there are four locations.
Yeah.
I mean, it went from one location, like, a couple years. I mean, you had one forever.
For a while, and then...
All of a sudden, there was four.
It's been crazy. Yeah. And I think, to that end, like, we... I like saying, like, same Credo, different location. So the shops look different. The shops look like the neighborhoods that they're in. So the Exchange building still feels like the old Exchange building. It feels like where I went, the arcade that I used to go to when I, you know, was little growing up here. College Park looks like College Park. Florida Hospital has the clean industrial lines of the executive building. And so for us, it's coming into the space and saying, like, cool, this is where you are. How do we meet that? And then I think also, like, when I think about the parade, coming up with the parade, like, we're going to invite elected officials. We're going to invite different people. But we're honoring the neighborhood. We're honoring the kids. Like, the parade, like, yes, we're inviting outside people, but the floats are...
By them.
By them. So, you know, people have asked, hey, can we have a float for this or this, and potentially, or like, that's always something to think about, and we have lots of conversations. We're all philosophy-driven people, for better or for worse. But, yeah, it's the kids are the highlight, so let's focus on them. Like, you can come build a float with the students, not the other way around. I think that's how we help maintain the integrity of inviting people into that.
So it's making it, it's not about me. It's about, you know, hey, Buddy Dyer, you want to come? It's not about you.
It's about the kids. You're coming to listen.
Yeah, you're coming to listen and kind of putting that thought process into the leaders within the city or within different organizations and going like, hey, I know you may want to do this because it might look good to do
it,
but this isn't about you.
But this isn't sustainable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because sometimes people do that. They'll go, hey, we want to be connected to a cause because it looks good.
Because it looks great.
Yeah.
And you're on the right track. But give it 2 more minutes of thought. You know, like, just play it out just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not the best idea.
And you can have that part of it, too.
Yes.
And still actually be doing the things that actually impact
our, so we're playing the long game. It's a hard, harder to play the long game.
Yeah, the long game is hard.
It's a hard one. It's very, it's small, it's behind the scenes. But we opened 2 shops last year, like in the same calendar year, which is nuts.
Yes, no, I know. No, it's fun. I'll tell a funny story about Credo. So I met up with a woman, and we were going to meet at downtown.
Oh, I know where this is going.
The downtown Credo.
Yeah.
Of downtown Credo. So I went to the Exchange building, and I'm sitting there drinking my coffee. And
just waiting.
She, yeah, texts me, hey, I'm here. And I'm like, no, I'm
You're
here.
You're not. Yeah.
And she was on the Orange Avenue one. So we were technically both downtown.
Technically, I want to say that you were right. I mean, she's not here in the box, so whatever. But,
yeah.
No, you're 100%
right. That's the North Quarter one.
Exactly.
But people don't know where the North Quarter is yet.
I kind of love it because that's...
It's a secret.
Across the street from my house. It's a block from the co-working space. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like my neighborhood. It's actually my neighborhood coffee shop. Mm-hmm. It's within walking distance. But I'm pretty sure that happens. I mean, I'd put money it happens at least once a week.
I bet, like, it happens a lot.
Probably more than that.
But it's happened to me with a Starbucks and a Panera
I
before.
Love it. So true. Yeah. Exactly.
So, like, you know, no, you're, I'm here. You're in good company.
Like, no, I'm here. Oh, I had a call last week. Ben and I were in, it was three of us. Ben and I were in a meeting with a friend of ours, a professor at Rollins, and she called, and I sent an email half an hour out, and I was like, hey, how about we meet at the co-working space at Conduit? And if necessary, we'll walk down and grab coffee at North Quarter. I knew this was going to happen, and it did. But she called, you know, 5 minutes into when we were scheduled to meet. Hey, I walked into the College Park, and I realized I never told you which Credo to meet at. And I said, I know, but two of us are already here, so this time you're going to have to be the one to move. So it happens, but it's...
Yeah, you know, those types of mixos. But like
then
I
you
said,
get to meet more people, and I like the coffee at all the locations because it's the same coffee. And
yeah.
And, sorry, quick plug for the baristas, because I get to be on the side of, I'm no longer behind the counter, but the baristas are the people that maintain Credo's mission better, like,
and they
I wouldn't
do.
Say better than Ben and I, you know, like, I don't want to, like, create that, but.
Because I, like, I'll go into Credo, and I'll just sit there and listen, and, like, they will tell every single
they
person
know it.
Why and what they do and what the mission is, and so it's not just, hey, you're buying a cup of coffee, and, like, you can pay whatever you want, but it's, like, here's why we're doing this.
Totally.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Your own little, like, mini marketing department.
Yes. So, like, I don't want to elevate the things. I'm really excited about the things that I get to do. I get to hang out with, like, really, I just get to, like, make friends with people and, like, build things, you know? Yeah. Like, it's kind of fun. But, like, the baristas are the people that are, they see the most faces on a daily, they see more people per day than I do.
Yeah.
And they are carrying the mission, and they're kind of the face of Credo to a lot of people. And so I'm always really proud of our baristas. We've hired a lot really, quickly. So it feels hard to keep up. Like, who are all these new people?
Shout out to the baristas.
Shout out to the baristas.
Tip them well, too.
Tip, like, take care of your baristas.
When it says how much you want to pay, that does not
It does not
tip.
Include tip. They see the worst of humanity, but not really. You know, I'm sure, like, police officers and EMS. But, like, whatever. Like,
yeah,
the baristas,
I mean, they see the worst.
They actually see the worst, but service industry is hard.
It is.
Love
it
our
is.
Baristas.
I agree. So let me ask you, you talked to that you came into Credo with a community building background or community organization background, but what kind of drew you into that type of you know, wanting to do community organization, wanting to do nonprofit work, civic work?
I've always wanted to change the world, blah blah blah, and I went into college wanting to be a doctor, you know, like all the like
all the things that are
high like achieving, right, classic high achieving first child,
immigrant family,
like all of those.
I'm a first child too. I went into school to be an engineer, and then now
perfect, yes. Really big dreams, and they're still really good dreams. Yeah. I'm not knocking anyone that used to do them.
Change, though. Yeah.
Right. But in, I grew up, like, kind of in a faith community, for sure. Grew up in a Christian community and did a lot of mission work. And so would go to New Orleans and do a lot of inner city work in New Orleans. And so I kind of cite that as maybe early stages. Like, oh, my gosh, I love these kids. I love doing community work in the inner city and being outside of my private school education world. There's great international work. Everyone, you know, like, go overseas, be outside of your comfort zone, go to a different place, you know, like, go to the Ninth Ward of New Orleans. But, like, here's, like, where you are is also kind of important. And so I think that's, I'd started to shift toward more kind of local impact and realizing, like, man, I can make a difference where I currently am. I don't have to prepare myself to go overseas or to go to the inner city in, like, three states over. And I think that's just kind of slowly but surely, you know, like, in college I was still going on those trips. I did disaster relief in Mississippi and New Orleans. And when I was getting to the end of college, I was looking at doing counseling, like, clinical psychology. And the school that I ended up going to also had a program in intercultural studies and had, like, urban development. And I was like, yes, that's me. That's what I want to do. And so kind of 11th hour shift from clinical psychology into intercultural work. So really just kind of like anthropology in a sense. Like, what does it mean? And took
Does it take some aspects of, like, urban development involved in some of that?
It does. I didn't go into it like urban planning and development. So it was just like understanding cultures. But there was, like, a community organizing class within it. And so got connected, like, fell in love with that class. And I think a guest lecturer. Yeah, she was the guest lecturer. And was like, oh, by the way, we have internships, like, over the summer, community organizing. And I was like, yes! And so the organization's called CLUE. It's Clergy and Laity United for Economic Justice. And so it was based out in LA. They're still doing great work. But they organize, they're the community organization, like they organize the religious community, but around issues of workers' rights. So I got to go to Arizona in 2010 in protest of some terrible immigration laws. I got to help organize civil disobedience on behalf of hotel workers on Sunset, like, and car wash workers, just all of the, like, economic justice. But we got to bring faith leaders from the Muslim community, from the Jewish community, from the Christian community, and say, like, all religions believe in justice. And so that's really kind of where I came, like, where it started to cement, and, like, oh, this is really good work. This is the common ground. But I think kind of shifting from that world into Credo world.
Now, how do you take that idea of seeing nationally and even internationally seeing these problems everywhere and seeing going other places and seeing how they're implementing solutions and then taking that back and going, okay, how do I put
What does this look like?
What does that look like in my community?
Totally. I think it's a pretty big table. Like, there's a place for everybody at the table. And so you still need those community organizers. You still need people knocking on doors, doing grassroots work. I love them. I've been them. You need people who are at the top, who are able to fund things, who are, man, I really love this, but I'm not going to go get arrested with you. Like, that's fine. Like, not everyone needs to get arrested. And so I think for me, the shift with Credo is, like, it's very relational. So it's very, it's a little more subversive. It's not campaign focused.
Sometimes I feel like when you do programs like that, and some of the stuff that floats around in my head about the things I always say, I'm like, I'm trying to come up with, like, capitalistic solutions
to
solve you know, social problems or whatever.
And I think that's okay too. Like, the thing is, like, our purchase power means something, you know, like, and so I think there are a lot of ways. And so for me, instead of like, man, how can I don't know, tear down the Starbucks industry, you know, like whatever that means.
How do I be a disruptor? That's the conversation I have a lot is like, how do you disrupt like this structural thing that's already happening in the way that I can do it?
Exactly.
And maybe it's, for me, it's not, you know, I'll call my Congress people, I'll come and show up to the rallies
that,
and
totally,
stuff.
Yeah.
But then, like, to me, it's like, there's other ways, and I don't know if it's me being, like you said, being willing to go and get arrested and do this thing
and
or
that's
that thing.
Fine, too. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, I mean, I don't need to tear down Starbucks, you know? Like, that's not, and I don't have to go from campaign to campaign. Like, I think also if you find something that you really love, like, do that. Like, don't feel obligated. Like, man, I got to, like, worry about those garment workers in Bangladesh. Man, I got to worry about those, like, tea pickers in Nepal. Man, I got to worry about, like, we won't be able to live. Like, you know, like, we can't focus that way.
Yeah. And what I was going to say is I've had a couple different people on my podcast, Anna Eskamani, Julissa Arce, who are community organizers.
Wonderful ladies.
And they, wonderful people. Yeah. And they talk about gaining power and what is power and like power is neutral.
And
one of the things is if we do things like some of the stuff Credo's doing is they're going, we're going to take money. We're going to make it the way we want
to, and then
we're going to implement it the way
and
we want to.
And invite you into that process.
Yeah.
So for us, it's really like, it goes back to like, I want to be a person of meaning impact community rather than I want to upend the coffee industry altogether. Because then once you do, then what, you know? And then like, and I think some people,
well, that's,
it's good
I think
for
that's
some
where
people.
Uber is, right?
Right, right,
they're
right.
They disrupt the taxi industry, and now they go, now what? Now you're the bad guy.
Now, right.
Now you're the bad guy, and you're going, oh, crap. What, you know, I mean, there's lots of problems within that company.
Right. But I think there are just, like, ways to shift how we go into our work, and that frees us to do it in all ways. Like, I can't fight all the problems, but I can remember that there's a person who picked that cherry, and there's somebody else who dried that cherry and harvested it, and somebody else that processed it, and somebody else that roasted it, and somebody else that ground it and put it in the cup of coffee that I drink without thinking of, you know? Like, and so I think it's just in that sense, like, in the ways that I can be mindful that there are more people in this process to just get a cup of coffee, then that shifts how I'm mindful about how I engage in the city.
Yeah.
I'm mindful about the fire trucks that come to my building to turn off the alarm because somebody pulled the alarm at 2 a.m. You know, like, it shifts in those small ways to where we're becoming people who see one another, who
listen.
Well,
I even think about it when
someone,
you know, if I'm having, like, a frustrating day, or I had, like, a really frustrating day, and there was a homeless guy. Like, I'm going to sound bad, and I'm going to tell this story, but, so there's a homeless guy that stands in front of, like, the machines and takes your card and tries to, like...
Oh, with the parking?
At the parking.
Yeah.
At the parking. So takes your card and tries to, like, here, I'm going to do it for you for a tip.
Right.
And I was having, like, a really, really bad day.
Yeah.
And I was late to a meeting, and I parked at, the closest thing I could get to the meeting.
Totally.
And there's the guy standing there as I'm, like, pulling up.
And you're like, no.
And in my head, I'm so angry. I was, like, just... the world is, like, against me this day,
right.
And I like, focus in, I'm like, I'm going to take, if that guy is there, I'm going to take it out on him.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, rehearsing stuff in my head. Now, luckily, for whatever reason, he walked off.
It was right.
And I've had an interaction with this guy before.
Totally.
So it's not like he was just, like, a complete
stranger
on the street. But anyway, so, like, he walked off, and I was like, that guy's lucky. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, he's not just standing there to, like, swindle people. It's hot outside.
It's hot.
He needs some money because he's hungry or whatever.
Yeah.
And I, like, have to, like, sit there and go, like, what's his reasoning?
Right.
To, like, be in that spot at that, you know, at that moment doing something that really is annoying most people he's probably interacting with.
Yeah. And maybe his own dignity, like, who knows? And who, like, there's no reason that story has to end with, and then you gave $1,000.
Yeah,
you know, like,
no,
it doesn't have
to. But at least I sat there and I went,
but
I feel bad about
how
it.
How you look at people.
And the next time I find myself in that situation, and there's those triggers that might make me react that way, I can stop for a second and go, okay, yeah. that person doesn't necessarily
He's
deserve...
He's a person.
Yeah, that
right.
person is a person. They yeah. don't necessarily deserve the thing that happened.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to say I yelled at a homeless person on the street. That did not right. happen.
But also those parking meters are a pain.
Those parking meters
so,
are a pain.
So I'm yeah. with you. Yeah.
yeah.
No, I totally... Like, it's that. It's that little shift where mm-hmm. you start to see people a little bit. You just see how we're connected. Mm-hmm. You see, like...
And I think yeah. I think you could think about that as far as, like, your coworkers are concerned. 100%. And, like, when a coworker just drives you nuts and you have yes. to go, what is going on behind yeah. the scenes? If you just think, like, a few steps back into yep. a situation and go, what is leading
yep.
this situation to come to this point that it is affecting me yes. and I'm angry or
totally.
Upset or whatever? And I think just, you're it's right, little, taking that
just mind... Just give it a little bit more. Yeah. Give it a little bit more time. We joke around... we use, like, we've upended, like, the whole lean in idea. We're like, uh-huh. no, lean in. Like, where there's discomfort, like, lean into those relationships. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, somebody's really bugging you or, like, their attitude was weird. Like, mm-hmm. don't, my tendency is to kind of shut down. Mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. okay, well, dead to me. Like, I can't deal with you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just go do my own thing. Like, mm-hmm. but to lean into those relationships. And I would say more shout out to the coffee team. Like, Jay, who's our coffee director, mm-hmm. does that immensely well. Yeah. Like, he... things that he'll bring up that I just immediately am like, nope, done, next, what's next? Jay yeah. leans into his staff, and mm-hmm. they know that they can trust him. Like, they yeah. know that Jay's got their back, and he's looking out for them. And I'd say that for all of us. Like,
but that takes being uncomfortable.
It takes being uncomfortable. It mm-hmm. takes, like, recognizing, like, hey, this is a business, and we're trying to do well, so I need you to talk to me. Like, I need to know what's going on, and mm-hmm. I want you to be a part of this team. How can I help you be a part of that? And... mm-hmm. oh, it's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard, and it slows things down, but that's
but hopefully
but that's what makes the
value
work what
during
it is.
That.
Exactly.
You're gaining value during that, so eventually that hard work
yeah.
pays off later on.
Yeah.
And maybe you could have gotten to the... maybe you could have gotten there a little bit faster, but maybe the end result
yeah.
wouldn't have been as good.
And I really, like, I do believe, like, that's the work. Like, the work mm-hmm. is showing up. It's not like, man, how can we pull off this really great thing? Like, that, mm-hmm. those are just mechanics. Like, that's, mm-hmm. will fall into place just because that's how things, you know,
yeah.
like, they're event planners.
Well, you
like,
could throw
that's
a parade
easy.
And nobody show
and
up.
And nobody, right. yeah, but
so
the work of leaning into, like, oh, that was an awkward conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go back there. Like, the work of actually just showing up,
mm-hmm.
that's the work that's worth doing.
So basically, you're telling me you should take advice from really good salespeople who just, like, keep walking in a front door even though
who
it's
don't
hard.
Stop. I do have to remember, I'm like, okay, you're doing a job. Do it.
Yeah.
Do what you gotta do. I know.
So I'm gonna, the last question I want to ask you today is, what's a piece of advice that's stuck with you over the
yeah.
years?
Okay, so funny, I was sitting with Andy, our beloved Andy Perez.
Yeah, Andy Perez, who's been on the podcast.
Orlando Yelp.
Yeah.
Boop, boop. And she's like, are you going to talk about me? And I said, in every question, I'm going to do my best.
We can bring up other awesome
because
women
Lady
on the
Tribe
podcast.
Crossover
yes.
is really what we're trying to do
yeah.
here. But I asked her this question, and I...
well, I ask everybody this question.
Right, and I was
yeah.
like, Andy, what is the advice? And she's like, I don't know. And offhandedly, and I was like, just be a nice person. And she stopped me. She, like, looked at me real soon. She's like, no, that's the answer.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's great. I think that
and
you're
I
right.
Think, I don't think anyone's explicitly told me that advice. Like, just mm-hmm. be a nice person. But I think I've watched, my dad has never met a stranger in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a joke in the family. My dad has this face that says, like, tell me your life story.
Uh-huh.
And my mom does not. And so
yeah.
we joke, like, if you're at the airport, put on your mother's face. You know, like. Don't put on your dad's face. And it's just kind of like the running family joke. Because my dad, like, will walk
That's
out of a situation.
That's how people in my family are, too. My dad, my brother.
Yeah.
And as friendly and outgoing as I am.
Right.
I'm
I still manage to.
I'm still not the.
It's like a 50-50.
Yeah.
We could go either way. But we'll walk out and we're like, Dad, how do you know that person? He's like, oh, I don't. And we're like, oh, okay. So I think I've just, like, watched my dad, like,
mm-hmm.
always do that. My grandfather retired a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's 89 now, and he, like, retired, like, probably within the last 5 years.
Go
it's
grandpa.
Absurd. Yeah. No, I think he's 91. That's absurd. But he was doing, he was a security guard
uh-huh.
at Hard Rock's headquarters.
Uh-huh.
And he finally retired. Finally put up the shoes. Like, probably in his 80s. I'm not kidding. Like, I can't imagine.
They were probably, like, had the awkward conversation. Like, you might want
to. You should go now. Right. But the thing, so Hard Rock, like, executive, like, Hard Rock across the world, like,
uh-huh.
their headquarters, like, up in Metro West area, every staff member came out to say thank you to his retirement. Like, I'm crying now, like, Hard Rock executives came out to say good, like, to say, like, thank you for your service. Do you know why? Because he didn't forget any one of their names. Mm-hmm. Like, my grandfather knew every person's name.
Yeah.
And said goodbye
Nicole's
to them.
Eyes are watery
I'm,
right
like,
now.
Misty yeah. right now because I love my family.
No, that's fantastic
but
for
I think
someone
it's
to
just,
say, yeah.
like, executives who are, like, traveling to Macau and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. this guy remembered my name every day I left the office. Yeah. You know, like, I think it's just that kind of lifestyle, like,
yeah. Like, well, no, I agree with you. My husband and I had a conversation yeah. about this because I get really annoyed with politeness and like that because it comes from that whole idea of like the Southern
like
you have
I should put on
like
a good
I
face.
Should yeah, put yeah, on yeah. a good face. So yeah. it's like, oh, you had to say please and you had to say thank
right,
you and
right,
had
right.
to do this and yeah. I go. So then we teach children how to be polite, but we don't actually teach them how to be nice.
To be nice.
And so, like, that's really, like, because you teach politeness as a structure
yes.
to teach niceness, but then you don't actually go into the like, the why you're
yes.
being polite to people.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's like, yeah, be nice.
Just
and
be
how
nice.
Do you be nice, you know? And
yeah.
it doesn't necessarily have to mean be polite.
Be right. Or, like, overly, like, gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, like... It's 7 o'clock, like 7:30 in the morning, and
mm-hmm.
like a barista's making you coffee. You don't need to be like, oh my gosh, tell me, blah, blah, you know, like you. But
yeah.
just be nice, you know.
Yeah.
Like there's a good chance, like I as like when I was
mm-hmm.
a barista, like I would remember your name, your drink
mm-hmm.
order, or like one other thing
yeah.
about you. Like pick two of those, and like we're
yeah.
like basically best friends.
And it's
friends.
Hard to think about those types of things because like I was at the grocery store the other day, even, and I was kind of in my own world, and I was kind of like on my phone or whatever,
yeah.
and the bag. Guy, I mean, he wasn't a boy, but you know,
yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
the bagger,
no, yeah.
Asked me, you know, a question, and I just kind of was didn't even look up. It says
right,
something. And then I was like, you know, and I stopped and I looked
just,
at him, and I was just
yes.
like, and I asked him a couple questions, and I was just like, you know, how's
and
your day going
it.
Or whatever,
yeah.
and just be like. Hey, you're a person.
You're a person.
Yeah.
You're a person. Yeah, I'm not looking to be best friends with everyone in the city.
Yeah.
I need to sleep. I need, you know, like, I need to see my family. I need
yeah.
to see my friends.
Yeah, I think I said, like, I hope you don't get caught in the rain
right.
or something.
Right, like,
you know?
Like, just be nice. And
yeah.
I think that goes so much further than mm-hmm. we give it credit for. Like,
yeah.
we don't say it explicitly enough, but mm-hmm. I think it's worth saying, like, just be nice.
Yeah. I think that's great advice. And I think that's a great place for us to end.
Perfect.
So can you let us know where we possibly can find you or Credo
totally.
On the internet?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram as Rare Blackbirds. Instagram and Twitter, both same handle. Twitter's an open account. Rare Blackbirds is not.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll accept you. It's totally fine. and then Credo is on it, Downtown Credo. And
mm-hmm.
The gal who runs that is a gorgeous photographer, gorgeous person inside
mm-hmm.
and out, and gorgeous photographer. So that's a great way to keep up with Credo, what Credo happenings.
Perfect.
Yeah, Instagram and Facebook.
All right.
Downtown
and
Credo.
I'll put all of that information in the show notes so you
Perfect.
Can go find it there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Nicole, for being on the show today.
You
I
bet.
Had an awesome conversation.
Yay!
And until next time, we'll see you around.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us here today on Orlando Lady Boss. And if you enjoyed this episode, please take the time to check us out on iTunes, where you can download all of our episodes, or on Google Play. And if you're enjoying what you're listening to, please, please give us a rating on iTunes or Google Play. That is how other people discover us and find out more about us. Also, you can check out the blog, OrlandoLadyBoss.com, and on there you can find all types of stuff about feminism and women-owned businesses and how to make an impact in your own world. And you can sign up for the monthly email list where I'll give you news and updates on things you need to know about women making an impact in Orlando and beyond, along with advice on how you can start making an impact in your own way. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Orlando Lady Boss. And you can like me on Facebook at facebook.com/Orlando Lady Boss. And if you are a woman in Orlando doing something awesome, make sure you hashtag it with #OrlandoLadyBoss. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next time, stay strong and go out and make an impact in your own world.